morning today's Daf and Brachos is Samech Gimel. We're on Samech Beis and Beis, and we are finishing up the Perek, finishing up the Masechta. Our first discussion takes us through spitting in a shul. Spitting in a shul, in addition to spitting in a home, sounds like behavior that is not appropriate. Someone to come into my home and decides that he needs to spit, so I show him where the bathroom is. But back in the day, so it was common. All right, everyone remember the old spittoons that they used to have in the back of the synagogues. Anyway, the Mishnah says that in Har Bayis, so there are certain activities that one cannot do in Har Bayis. Har Bayis obviously is a perimeter that has extra kedusha as you now go interior to Yerushalayim. So everybody knows we did this extensively back in Midos and Tamid. So you're going into the walls of Yerushalayim that already has a certain level of kedusha. And then when you go into the Har Bayis, that's an interior perimeter, and that has additional level of Kedusha. And then you go into the actual Beis HaMikdash itself, and v'chule v'chule. So once you're in Har Bayis area, so there are certain activities which you cannot do, and you can't spit in the Har Bayis area. So Amra Bibi, Amra of Yeshua, picking up where we left off yesterday, on the bottom of Samach Beis HaMed Beis. So the Gemara quotes, B'shem Rav Yeshua Malevi, Kol HaRokeh B'Har Bayis B'Zman HaZekiel, HaRokeh B'Bas Eino. Spitting in the Har Bayis area, even nowadays we are without a base of Mikdash, but we still know exactly where the perimeter of the Har Bayis is. The Kotel HaMaravi, the western wall that we go to, is the western wall of the Har Bayis. So if you go into the Har Bayis nowadays and you spit Baharab in the area of the Har Bayis, so it's Ke'ilu, it's as if you're spitting Bavaseno right into the eye, right into his eye, capital H. Kaviyachol, obviously, more anthropomorphism. Shenem Ravaya Einai V'libi Sham Kol HaYamim. The Pasuk in Malachim describes how his eyes are going to be there, and his heart are going to be there all the time. Now, what about spitting in shul? So that would be permitted. And so we're going to be having a somewhat lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding a comparison, a side-by-side comparison of the Har Bayis area and the shuls that we have nowadays. Now, we do refer to our shuls as a mikdash ma'at, right? A smaller version of the Beis HaMikdash, but still, as much as there is a comparison, but there's also a distinction, and that's what we're going to be spending some time going over. Amida de Havi Amina. Now the Gemara says, now let's think about this in terms of shoes. Mamina Bahara Bayis Aser. Now you're not allowed to walk with shoes in the Har Bayis area. Why? Because it's Aser. Right? When you go to an area where there is Kvod Hashem, we saw this by Moshe Rabbeinu when he went to the Sneh. So he had to remove his shoes. Shal na'alach me'araglecha. So the same thing is true with the Har Bayis. But meanwhile, in the shul, you're allowed to wear shoes. So ma min al b'Har Bayis aser be'beis haknesses motor afri kika b'Har Bayis u'daser be'beis haknesses shari. So if by shoes there's a relaxation of the rules that one is allowed to wear shoes within the shul, so therefore one is also allowed to spit within the shul as well. There's also relaxation regarding that rule as well. So Amalei Rapapa LaRava, VaAmri LaRavim LaRava, VaAmri LaRavada BarMasna LaRava, Adi Alef MeMinal, Neilef MeKapanja. So the Gemara says, okay, I see that there are areas where there's a relaxation of the rule, but I know there are also areas where there's no relaxation of the rule. And so before making a comparison from spitting to wearing shoes, why not make the comparison to making a shortcut? And we learned this yesterday. And we know that you're not allowed to make a shortcut, not in the Har Bayis area, and you're not allowed to make a shortcut in a shul. You're not allowed to use a shul as a shortcut. We went over this yesterday. So he says, look, I hear you, but I know the Braisa. And the Braisa makes a comparison to shoes. So I'm grounded, pun intended, I'm grounded on the fact that I have a Braisa that makes a comparison to shoes. I'm good. So Mahi and the Gemara says, what Braisa was he making reference to? So we're going to see the Braisa right now. A person is not allowed to go into the Har Bayis area with a stick, with shoes, not with money tied to his belt, or some sort of money purse that's hanging behind him. You're not allowed to make it a kapanja, or and Rekika goes without saying that you're not allowed to spit in that area. That's an affront. So we know that shoes are going to be prohibited, even though there's nothing offensive about shoes. But we have a pasuk. Spitting is an affront. And if I'm not allowed to wear shoes in the Har Bayis, which is a neutral activity, I'm certainly not allowed to spit in the Har Bayis area, which is, generally speaking, obnoxious behavior. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Armin, and Tzarech. Now, we made the point already, meaning the entire point that Gemara wanted to make is that the Braisa is comparing the wearing of shoes to spitting. And so that's why, that's the grounds of the comparison. We're going to read the rest of the Braisa only because we're here anyway, but the point has been made. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Eino Tzarech. No, I don't even need that point. Harei Omer, ki ein lavo el shar hamalach bilvush sak. Okay, you'll just hear this a couple days from now, Tuesday morning. So, v'halod varam kavachomer, ma sak she'enu ma'us lefnei basav adam. So now, you can't go into the king wearing sak. Now, wearing sak, sackcloth, so it's not ma'us, it's not disgusting, but meanwhile, that's not how you address the king. That's not how you... that you wear when you go to the king. So, Rikika shehimu selif ne'mach mache amlachim l'kol shekein. So for sure, you're not allowed to spit, meaning that's offensive behavior. Okay, so where exactly we're learning it from? The point is that according to the Tanna Kamma, what's the comparison? Wearing shoes and spitting. So, since that's the comparison, so now we know that that's the comparison, so now we're just going to go back to the original point, which is, if in the shul you're allowed to wear shoes, so therefore in the shul you're allowed to spit. So Amalei Anahachi Kamina. So the Gemara says, you misunderstood my point. Meaning, I hear your braisa, I know your braisa, I agree with you. But I'm saying the following. Look, I'm just simply saying that we could be machmir. For spitting, you're not allowed to spit in the Har HaBayis, you're not allowed to spit in the shul as well. Ve'ema, and here's what I'll say, as we now are on the top. Samach Gimam and Aleph. Ve'ema Har HaBayis Aser B'menal Le'elfa Mimeno. He says, look, I understand that there's a comparison between shoes and spinning. I get it. But there, we could also say that there's a comparison between spinning and kapandria. Meaning, both could be true that, look, you're right. In a shul, there's a relaxation of the rule. I'm allowed to wear shoes in shul, and I'm not allowed to wear shoes in Har HaBayis. That part's true. And you wanted to say, well, if I can wear shoes in a shul, so therefore I could spin a shul as well. But here's what I'll say. I'm not rejecting your point. I accept your point. But what I'm doing is I'm adding to your point. And I'm saying that on one hand, shoes are allowed in shul. But you know what's prohibited in shul? Making it a shortcut. Oh, so you see that there still are some chumras of a shul. So once we see that there are some chumras of a shul, so I'll just simply say, so as far as spitting is concerned, I'll put spitting on the column of not making it a shortcut. Meaning we're going to be machmir over there. So fine. So why don't we say that? El amarava ki beito. So Rava says, okay, so the reason why wearing shoes in a shul would be okay, and the reason why spitting in a shul would be okay, is because even though there are comparisons between a shul and the Har HaBayis, and even though the shul is called a Mikdash Ma'at, but it also is Kebeito, it's also like our house. Ma Beito, Kapanja, Kapaninish, or Kika Minal, or Kapaninish, Av Beis HaKnesses, Kapanja, Huda, also, or Kika Minal, Shari. And so the Gemara says is that, that just like in our home, we would certainly object to the idea of anyone walking through our house and or our property and saying, hey, you know what? What's it called? It's shorter for me to walk this way. And you would be obviously offended by that, and you would object to that. But when it comes to people coming into your house wearing shoes, you wouldn't object to that. And when it comes to people coming to your house and spinning, you wouldn't object to that. Now, again, I know our cultures have definitely shifted over the years, but the Gemara is going back to a time where spitting was a acceptable indoor activity. And so the Gemara says, and the same thing is going to be extended to the shul as well. Right? When somebody says to you in shul, make yourself at home, so you'll just simply say, that's so funny that you say that. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach Gimel tells me that that's exactly correct. In other words, the Gemara says that when you're in shul, it's going to be similar to that which is like being in your house. And so therefore, the activities which you tolerate in your house, activities like wearing shoes, activities like spitting, would be activities which would be allowed in shul as well. Masha'enke and Kapandria, which you wouldn't want in your house, so therefore are unacceptable in the shul as well. When all said and done, the Gemara's conclusion is that for Har HaBayis, so the activities that are prohibited are Kapandria, using it as a shortcut, Min'al, wearing shoes, and spinning. All those are prohibited activities. However, which ones extend to the basic Knesset? So of those three, only Kapandria are the ones that extend. The other two are going to be permitted. Okay, we go back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah takes us back to the beginning of the Perek, because all the Mishnahs of this Perek are front-loaded at the beginning. And the Mishnah gave us a number of halachas of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. And as I pointed out when we learned the Mishnayos, it's really not particularly clear why it comes up over here in the ninth parak of Brachos. I advanced a suggestion when we did the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about Ava. Once the Mishnah talked about Ava, the Mishnah wanted to counterbalance with Yira. Okay, it's a suggestion. Anyway, but what comes out, however, is that the Mishnah brought us the halachas of when you go into the Arbayis, you're not allowed to wear shoes, money belt, and you're not allowed to make it a shortcut, you're not allowed to spit. Okay? And then the Mishnah talked about chosmei bracha shebemikdash. When you get to the end of a bracha in the Beis HaMikdash, so they would say ad ha'olam. They wouldn't say the word amen. They would say ad ha'olam. Now why? That's a great question. And all I'm going to do is just read the Gemara to you in just a couple minutes from now, where the Gemara says, because you don't say amen in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. That's not an answer. That's not a why. That's just simply a what. Okay. So why we don't say amen in the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, well... Yeah, I know. I understand. Yeah. Okay. Agreed. Okay. So the, however, the Mishnah told us Mishikukul at Tzedukim, but when the Tzedukim got around and they said Ad HaOlam, oh, there's only God in this world. So Amru Ein Olam Ela Echad. So then the institution was Min HaOlam the Ad HaOlam. Okay. So an extended version of the response. Let's see the Gemara. The Gemara starts off. We are towards the top of Samach Gimel Med Aleph Kol Chos Meibrachas Shebemikdash Kol Kach Lama. So what exactly is this? Meaning, why not just simply answer Amen after hearing a bracha? Lefi shein onim Amen b'mikdash. So we don't say Amen in the base of Mikdash. Minayin shein onim Amen b'mikdash. And what is the source of that? And the Gemara quotes the pasuk. But the pasuk is not a why. The pasuk is just simply a drasha telling us here's what we're not allowed to do. So in terms of the why, so like I said, I struggle in terms of giving any kind of explanation of why. But you don't. You don't say Amen in the base of Mikdash. So you're going to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu min olam v'ad olam, and then the next pasuk in Nechemya vayivarchu shem kavodech maram o maramam al kol bracha usihila. And so we're going to bless shem kavodech. So in other words, when hearing a bracha, so this is the appropriate response and not amen. Okay, so it's a drasha, but I still lack the vocabulary to explain why that should be. Why should be different in the base of Mikdash? Tamalam or Maram? I'm sorry. So Yachol Kol Abrachus Kulam Te'elahem Te'ila Achas. So the Gemara says, okay. So now that there's a new response to a bracha in the base of Mikdash, so the Gemara entertains the following Havamina. Maybe go through every bracha, meaning let's say for example in the base of Mikdash they're saying Shmon Esrei. Now did they say Shmon Esrei in the base of Mikdash? I think the answer is yes. Here's what we know for sure: the Mishnayos in Midos, which we did not so long ago, and the Mishnayos in Tamid talk about certainly a truncated, an abbreviated version of the Shmon Esrei that was said in the Beis HaMikdash. So, but whatever the case is, the suggestion would be, because there's a new response in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not a main, so maybe make all the brachos, and then say the response after all the brachos. So, Tam Lama, Umarama, Makol Bracha, Usila, Al Kol Bracha, Bracha, Tein Lo Tehila. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the drasha teaches us that you make this response after every bracha. Okay. Okay. It could be that that's the reason. Could be. I don't know. Now we move on to the Mishnah. Next point in the Mishnah is that an institution was made, and that is when you greet somebody. So in addition to saying hello, so Yushem Hashem, right? Hitkinu, back to our Mishnah. I'm just going back to the next point of the Mishnah. Shei Adam Shol Shalom Chavero Bishem. So when you see somebody, you greet someone, Yushem Hashem. Now, is that problematic? And the answer is yes, that's problematic. Because you're not allowed to Yushem Hashem for no reason. If you are purposeful about saying Shem Hashem, i.e. it's a pasuk, i.e. it's a bracha, so fine. So then we have the license to say Shem Hashem. But to say hello to somebody and to use Hashem's name, so that's improper. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says that Takana was made that they were going to introduce in a casual greeting between two people, they're going to introduce saying Shem Hashem. And then the Mishnah brought in many sources that this is in fact correct, that this was the Takana. Shenamar and the... I'm just going back to the Mishnah. I'm reviewing the Mishnah. V'nei Boaz ba mi beis lechem v'yomar l'kotzim Hashem imachem v'yomar lo yivrachecha Hashem. Source number one is Boaz. We see, point blank, says Hashem imachem as a greeting. Number two, v'omer Hashem amah gibor hachayo. That's by Gidon. Number three, v'omer al tavoz kizek necha imacha. I'm sorry, ki ziknai mecha. A pasuk in Mishlei, which seemingly has nothing to do with our point, which the Gemara is going to explain. And finally, number four, ve'omer esa asos la'Hashem, hefer usor secha. Okay? And so there are four psukim quoted successively in the Mishnah to teach us this idea of a takana that was made by the rabbis that just a casual greeting, you're allowed to include Shem Hashem. Not allowed to, you're supposed to. It is recommended. My ve'omer. So the Gemara now wants to know why the successive psukim. And the truth of the matter is, if you look at the psukim that were quoted in the Mishnah, pasuk number one is clear. This is exactly what Boaz did when he just greeted his workers. Hashem imachem. So isn't that enough? My v'omer v'chitem Boaz midaita denaf shekamar. So the Gemara says, well, I would have thought maybe that Boaz was doing so, but as a sole proprietor of this halacha, and this was not something that should be carried through. Tashma Hashem imcha gibor achayo. So the Gemara says, okay, we see it by Gidon. Gidon speaking with the Malach. And the Malach says, Hashem imcha gibor chayo. And they're just casual conversation. And Shem Hashem went right into the conversation. V'chitem ha-malachu dekamer le Gidon. And I might have thought, okay, but that's a Malach talking. And that's not going to set any kind of precedent. Tashma tavos ki zikna imcha. So the next pasuk is al tavos. Al tavos says, don't reject, don't repudiate. If you have a Malach saying it, if you have Boaz saying it, it means that this is an accepted minhag. And then there's the fourth pasuk. And the fourth pasuk is teaching us is that, look, it seems to be a rejection of the Torah. Heferu sarasecha. On the other hand, esas l'sashem. On the other hand, the times demanded it. Now, it's not clear, but I will suggest the following in terms of just the what the Gemara's point is over here. And that is that they found a period of time where God's name was just simply not part of the daily conversation. And so, even though lo sisa Hashem Hashem l'shav, you're not allowed to use God's name in vain, but at the same time, however, they just felt that people weren't discussing HaKadosh Baruch Hu enough. And so, therefore, an entire institution was made that people should, even in casual conversation, say Hashem Hashem to incorporate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in more daily living. That's probably what the Gemara means. And even though lo sisa, on the other hand, Eslas Oslas Hashem. Amarava, high krami, Resha L'Seifa Midrash, Umiseifa L'Resha Midrash. Now this pasuk can be darshan in either direction. Right? We saw this idea just a couple of days ago in the daf, where you can darshan psukim from forwards, backwards, and the reverse. Resha L'Seifa Midrash, Eslas Oslas Hashem. So there is going to be a time where people are going to be punished. Why? Because they negated the Torah. They rejected the Torah. Now, that is one way to learn it. And so, therefore, it means that you see somebody who is rejecting the Torah, who is in clear violation of the Torah, there will be a time. It may not be now, but there will be a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take retribution. Fine. That's one way to darshan the pasuk. The other way to darshan the pasuk is in line with what we're saying. There are times where there has to be a negating of the Torah. Now, this is a really powerful concept. And also, I'm giving an analogy. You know, it's a nuclear bomb, meaning to be used with tremendous discretion. And only at certain historical times. When do you negate the Torah? So my time is Mishum, because sometimes call for it, where there has to be, even though the Torah says one thing, but we have to go against it because the times call for it. So the circumstances that I can think of historically. So one, what the Gemara here is discussing is using Shem Hashem in casual conversation, even though that seemingly is a violation of Lo Sisa Shem Hashem. Another, the writing of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh was not meant to be written down. The Gemara in Gittin goes over this idea. And meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi decided to write it down. Eslas Lo Sisa Shem. Hey, Feres Or Asecha. The times called for it. Another, Eliyahu Bahar Carmel. So you're not allowed to offer a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. When Eliyahu was there, there was a Beis HaMikdash. And meanwhile, he offered a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Eslas Lo Sisa Shem. I don't know how many more I can come up with. Those are three examples. But again, those are ideas where, so the times call for even a negating of the Torah. Tanya, A, you have to be judicious, and B, the you has to be, obviously, it has to be the Gedolim, it has to be, right, the leadership at the time. Tanya Hillel, Zaken Omer, B'Shah, Machnisim, Pazer. And the Gemara here quotes the Brisa. It's a Tosefta where basically words of wisdom in terms of whether to broadcast the Torah or sometimes not to broadcast the Torah, but to withdraw. Obviously not neglect, but just simply to withdraw. So Hillel Zaken Rambam Bishas HaMachnisim Pazer. If generally speaking, Torah is not being broadcasted, so then it becomes your responsibility to broadcast. Bisham Mefazrim. So if at times where people are broadcasting, and I know it sounds funny, but you're not so needed on this front, so kanes. Fine, so then retreat, withdraw. Now, if you see that, generally speaking, people want to hear the Torah, so then broadcast it. Now, if you find a generation where people are not interested, so kanes, withdraw. And even though withdrawing, what do you mean withdrawing? Meaning, is that appropriate behavior? So the Gemara employs the rule over here of Esla Sos Hashem. Darsh Bar Kapar Zalas Kavot Kane Mine. Bar Kapar gives advice. This is not the first time we've seen Bar Kapar give advice. I can go back to yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, Bar Kapar gave advice. We learned, by the way, that he sold his advice. And people would pay for it. So yesterday we got free advice from Bar Kapara, and today as well. Number one, the first piece of advice from Bar Kapara, Zalas Kavot Kane Mine. So when the price of something goes down, buying opportunity. So take advantage. And then Ba'asa Delais Gavar, Taman Havi Gavar. And when there is no person that there, you should become the person. Now that second one is interesting because it's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. All he did is he took the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and he translated it from Hebrew to Aramaic. So I'm not quite sure why Bar Kapara is taking credit for coming up with such an Einfeld, such a wonderful idea. Okay, I'm a little confused by that. So Abai says, okay, the opposite now becomes true as well. Let's say you live in a community where there is a man, meaning you already have a recognized leader in the community. So then there's no need for you to stand up and say, and I'm a leader as well. In other words, you have a leader already. So Pshita the Gemara says, now that's obvious, because if you go ahead and raise your flag and say, I'm also a leader, so that obviously is going to create faction and friction. So the Gemara says, it's obvious. So the Gemara says, well, let's say they're both on equal footing. So in other words, he's not greater than me, I'm not greater than him. So one could make the argument that, you know what? He can have leadership position. I too can have a leader position. And that's the point Abai says, no. If there is already a recognized leader in the community, and even though you're as great as he is, nevertheless, you should take a back seat, right? You should not put yourself up there as also a leader. Darsh Bar Kapara, another more drushes by Bar Kapara. Ezu Parsha Katanasha Kol Gufei Torah Tuluyim Ba. Give me an example of a pasuk where basically it's summarized. It's like a summary statement, right? The Gemara is somewhat obsessed with this idea of which pasukim really speak to the kernel, to the heart of the entire Torah. So here, Bar Kapara offers his submission. You know Akash Baruch Hu in all your ways, and he will straighten out your path. And even if it means a Dvar Avera, meaning, we're going to use the example once again of Eliyahu Bahara Carmel, meaning that he wants to broadcast Shem Hashem in this world, and he wants everybody to know Akash Baruch Hu, Bechol Derechecha Deyehu. And even though he's doing something inappropriate in the manner in which he's doing so, i.e., he's offering a carbon outside the area of the base of Mikdash, still one has to do so in order to broadcast Shem Hashem. Again, really, really powerful concepts that need to be that need to be carefully assessed and analyzed in terms of whether it's appropriate. But the Gemara here is giving limited license to do so. Darsh Bar Kapar Lolam Yalamid Adam Espenom Nasoni Kiyavikala. Teach a child a profession and one that's clean and light. So Mahi Amrachista Machto de Tam Yusa. Some form of stitching. It's a very skilled stitching. The Gemara here compares it to like furrows in the ground. Anyway, right, a skill. You teach your kid a skill, and so therefore he's going to have a parnasa for the rest of his life. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Lolam Al Yarbe Adam Reim Besoch Beso. A person should not have too many friends within his house. Shenemer Ishraim lehisra'ah. Pasuk Mishlei says that you have so many people hanging around your house, it's going to lead to fighting. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Ayimna Adam Apotropos Besoch Beso. Don't appoint any kind of manager, administrator within your house. Shomalei lo mana Potifar's Yosef Apotropos Besoch Beso lo bala oso davar. Look what happens when Potiphar puts an administrator, manager in his house. So what happens is that his wife tries to seduce his manager. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Lamanis Mecha Parsha Nazal Parsha Sota. And this Gemara we're all familiar with. Rashi brings it down in Chumash. Look in Naso. You will see Parshas Nazir and Sota put right alongside one another. Lam lecha shekol aro Sota b'kukula yazirat mamen ayayin. You see a Sota, so the reaction is going to be, that's it for me, no wine for me. That's what the kind of behavior wine leads to. I abstain myself from the wine. It is a natural, normal reaction to seeing the kind of indiscretions that are done by husband and wife. Amr Chizkiya Beredera Parnach Amr Rav Yochanan Lamanis Becha Parsha Sota LaParshas Trumos HaMaisros. Also another smicha, and that is the Parsha of Sota right next to Trumos HaMaisros. Lamalcha Koshesh Lo Trumos HaMaisros Ve'Einu Nosan LaKohen Sof Nitzucha LaKohen Ayyadei Ishto. Let's say you have Trumos HaMaisros and you decide, you know what, this year I'm not going to give. That's a lot I got to give away. I'm not interested in giving them away. And so therefore you retain the Trumos HaMaisros to yourself. And so you avoid meeting the Kohen. The point is, you will not be missing the Kohen. You will be seeing the Kohen, but it will be through you having to bring your wife to the Kohen because she's a Sota. So you're going to see the Kohen one way or another. So it's either going to be giving him Trumos HaMaisros, which obviously that's the mitzvah, or if you fail to do that, through bringing your wife. Shenemer v'ishes kadashav lo yeh, because you look in the Pesukim in Parshas Naso, it says that if a person Es kedashav lo yiyah lo, what the vav means, he retains them for himself. What's going to happen? Smichle ish ish ki sister ishto, and then his wife's going to be a sota, and he's going to have to see the kohen anyway. Uksive vias aisha ishto v'lo od elasof shenitzrach lehem, and not only that, you're going to then end up needing the kohanim. Shenemar vishes kedashav lo yiyah. In other words, you're going to need yourself to receive allocation and handouts in order for you to sustain. Am Rav Nachman Yitzchak v'im nasnu sof mitasher. Now, we said the negative, let's now say the positive. What if you do give Trumos HaMaisros to a Kohen? So what's going to happen is that you yourself will become wealthy. Shenemer Ish Asher Yitin LaKohen, Lo Yiyah. When you give to the Kohen, you're going to receive. What do you mean you're going to receive? Isn't he going to receive? Yes. Yes and yes. Meaning by giving to the Kohen where he receives, you're also going to benefit. You're also going to experience Asheris by doing so. Lo Yiyah Mamon Harbe. I'm Rav Huna Bar Brechia Mishum Rebbe Elazar Kafer Kol Mishatev Shem Shamayim Bit Tsa'aro Kofen Lo Parnasaso. When you include a Kadosh Baruch Hu in your Tsa'ar, so your Parnas is going to get doubled. So you're going through bad times, and you don't forget a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You remember a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We go back to our Mishnah. You make the Bracha Baruch Nayin Ames. So when all that happens, so eventually, as a result, your Parnas is going to be doubled. Shenemer Vaya Shakai Bit Tsarecha Kadosh Baruch Hu is together with your Tsa'ar. The kesef toafos lecha, or toafos lach, and the money is going to get double for you. The word ofef, which in the context probably means to fly, but the Gemara here understands it as a doubling. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Panasasa Mofefes lo Kitzipur. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani actually prefers to say it's like flying, meaning what's going to happen? Parnasa is going to fly to you. Shenemer v'kesef toafos lach. Amar Avtevi Amar Rav Yosher Kol Amar Pa'asma Midivrei Torah Ein Bo Koach La'amod B'yam Tzara. Anyone who weakens himself from Torah will not have the strength to stand on a very tough day. Shenemar Yisrapes B'yam Tzara, Tzar Kechacha. What's going to happen is that you will be constricted. In other words, if you're not strong in Torah, and I'll add also Emunah, so then what's going to happen is that when you have struggles, so you're really going to struggle during those struggles. I'm Rabbi Amar Bar Masna Amar Shmuel Ve'afilo Mitzvah Achas. And it's not. It means even a weakening of just one mitzvah, but it's going to weaken you in general. Shenemar Yisrapes Mikol Makom. Amar Rav Safra Amar Rabbi Abahu Hu Mishtai Kish. I'm sorry. Rabbi Abahu and Mishtai Rabbi Abahu would tell us the following. Kishiyered Chanina Ben Achai Rabbi Yeshua Achai Rabbi Yeshua Lagola. The Gemara now is going to recount the following story of Rabbi Chanina leaving Eretz Yisrael and going to the diaspora. Now, in terms of when this occurred, so I'd love better to pinpoint historically when this happened. We know it is certainly sometime either at the end of Bayisheni or maybe immediately after the era of the Bayisheni. It's not clear. It's not clear to me exactly when historically this occurred, but the story goes like this. Rabbi Chanina now leaves Eretz Yisrael, goes to the Galus. No explanation why, but and what did he do? So he served as a Beis Din. He acted as a Beis Din in Chutz Aretz, and specifically in the act of intercalating the year, adding an extra Adar when necessary. Now this was activity that was done only in Eretz Yisrael, and obviously at some time post Chorban Bayis Sheni, approximately the 3rd century. So because we didn't have a governing Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, so what they did is they fixed the calendar and they put the calendar on autopilot. But before then, so the calendar was adjusted by a Beis Din. And it was done so by a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael. And here the Gemara tells a story of one Talmud Chacham. He was clearly in a leadership position, and he adjusted the calendar even in Chutz Aretz. Shagra achar shnei talmidei chacham and Rav Yosef ben Kippur uben beno shel Zechariah ben Kavutal. And so two talmidei chachamim were sent to him with a very clear message: don't do that. Don't adjust the calendar outside of Eretz Yisrael. That only can be done in Eretz Yisrael. And two talmidei chachamim were sent to him. The second one, by the way, is not named, is not given a proper name, meaning he's just simply described as the grandson of Zechariah ben Kavutal. That information will become important in just a moment. Kevin Shabra Osam Amar Lahem Lama Batem. So he asked them, why are you here? Now, why exactly are they going to do this little dance where they don't immediately explain to him why they're there? And I'm not sure. I'm not sure why it is that they do this little dance. Amru Le Lumo Torah Banu. So they said, oh, we come here to learn Torah. So here was Alem and Hashem Alalu Gedol Adorahem Vavusehem Shimshu Bebeis HaMikdash. So he, Rabbi Chanina, made an announcement to everyone in Galus. These two who just came to visit us, they're Talmidei Chachamim. And the grandfather of that one served in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? That was the grandfather of, that was the Zechariah ben Kavutal that we just described. So, Ba'osa, Ka'osa Shashani, Zechariah ben Kavutal, Omer Harbei Pamim, Karis Lefanav Besifer Daniel. And this is a Mishnah in Yuma. The Mishnah in Yuma describes the night of Yom Kippur. The night of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol stays up the whole night. He performs an all-nighter. What exactly, how does he stay up that night? So obviously coffee's out of the question. It's Yom Kippur. So what do? So you read him interesting stories. And so the Mishnah tells us that Zechariah ben Kavutal, obviously a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, would be reading to the Kohen Gadol from Sefer Daniel. Right? A real page-turner. Now, I say that not sarcastically, meaning it is a real page-turner. It happens to be that, you know, we kind of got dulled to the page-turner. And also, we struggle a little bit because Sefer Daniel is written in Aramaic. But nevertheless, though, see, it's a story. It's got narration. Anyway, Hizchel hu metame vehe metarim. Now, Rabbi Chanina is offering psak in Chutz Aretz because he is a gadol ador. And these two who were just invited and were also praised by Rabbi Chanina, so they're going to reject everything Rabbi Chanina says is psak halacha. He says something is tameh, they say no, it's not, it's tahor. Hu oser vehi matirim. Rabbi Chanina says something's oser, and they say no, it's not, it's tahor. So hichris alem anashim alal shoshavim. And Rabbi Chanina now announces to the people, everything I said about these two earlier, cancel that. They're nothing. They don't know what they're talking about. So they say to him, no, you already built us up. You can't now knock us down. You built the fence. You can't break the fence. So Rabbi Chanina says, well, could you at least explain to me your behavior? I say something is also, you say it's mutter. I say something's tummy, you guys say it's tahor. Like, what are you doing? So they say, because you are adjusting the calendar here in Chutz Aretz. So Akiva ben Yosef, so Rabbi Chanina says, what I'm doing is not unprecedented. Rabbi Akiva did the same thing. And again, historically, this puts Rabbi Chanina after Rabbi Akiva. So it therefore stands to argue it's after Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's the most likely explanation. Anyway, so he says, Rabbi Kiva did it. So Amr lo hanach Rabbi Kiva shalo hinech kamosa b'Eretz Yisrael. So he says, we got to leave Rabbi Kiva out of this discussion. When he left Eretz Yisrael, there was nobody left in Eretz Yisrael. Nobody of his caliber. Amr lo afani lo hanach to become most of Eretz Yisrael. I feel the same way about myself, says Rabbi Chanina. Amr lo gidim shinach to nasu tayashim b'alei karnayim. He says, look, they were... Now, I'm going to use the word literally. They were kids when you left them in Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's, yeah, you're right. That's how he described them by analogy. Kid meaning baby goat. But now, or baby sheep. But now, tayashim, balei karnayim, but now they're grown up and they got horns. Meaning, okay, so you left Eretz Yisrael a long time ago. And I got to tell you, your students who were young at the time, now they're older, they're seasoned. V'hem shigru atzlecha. By the way, they're the ones who sent us. V'chein amru lanu l'chu v'imru lanu b'shmenu im shemo mutav. Now, if you listen, that's great. V'im lav yehe benidui. But if you don't listen, so I'm telling you, you have excommunication to look forward to, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis. V'amru l'chein shebegola im shomim mutav. If they listen, that's great. V'im lav yalu lahar achia yivne mizbech haninya. And an announcement is going to be made that they don't have a portion in the Jewish people, meaning excommunication. Now, when people heard this, they said, "Oh no, no, no! We don't want to be kicked off. In other words, we still want to be, and we still want to be part of the team." Now, all this because he was adjusting the calendar outside of Eretz Yisrael. And what is so significant about this, and why is it such an egregious act? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk, "Kimitzion teitzei Sarah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim." So the pasuk in Yeshayahu says that it has to come from Torah, dvar Hashem has to come from Yerushalayim. And so this idea of a psak halacha, and not just a personal psak halacha, meaning a psak halacha that affects the entire Jewish people. We're talking about the setting of the calendar. The setting of the calendar is a national psak. It affects everybody. And something like that has to come from central. Has to come from Eretz Yisrael, has to come from Yerushalayim. It cannot come from the exterior. Now, the Gemara says, fine. Adkan, that really brings us to the end of the story with Rabbi Chanina. Just one detail. The Gemara has like one follow-up question, which is the Gemara just wonders when they went through that song and dance of them first coming to Chutz Aretz, being touted as Tamid HaChachamim by Rabbi Chanina, and then disagreeing with everything he said. So the Gemara's follow-up question is, well, if he said something was Tamei, how can they say it's Tahor? Meaning, and people are going to listen to them. But meanwhile, they're being makel in a place where you can't be makel. The Gemara says, I understand they're going to be machmir. Okay, so that part I get. But to be makel when the halacha does not, when the halacha should not be makel, how could they do that? And Vatani, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Chacham Shetim ein chaver shal atahir, Asar ein chaver shal atir. Once one Tamei Chacham says it's Tamei, somebody along cannot come along and say, oh no, it's Tahor. And once a Tamei Chacham is Oser, somebody else can't come along and say, oh no, it's mutter. So So the Gemara says, well, it's true that generally speaking you're not allowed to do it, but on the other hand, they really wanted to make the point that you're not allowed to follow Rabbi Chanina. And even though they're offering a psak, and I know this part's going to be like, yeah, it's going to be hard for me to say, it's going to be hard to listen, but even though they're saying a psak that is wrong, and even though it may end up becoming a violation of the Torah, because they're being makel, where another Rav says that you should be machmir. So even though that's the case, but so that people will not end up following Rabbi Chanina, so they felt the ends justify the means.
What,
okay.
You just say don't follow Rabbi Chanina in this instance with the calendar.
Right. So there has to be. I know the question is wonderful. There has to be details to the story that just simply are left out of the Gemara. Meaning, why couldn't they just come in and say to Rabbi Chanina, please stop it? Right. Why go through this entire song and dance? So there has to be some details of the story that we're just, I'm not sensitive to, and that's why they had to go through this entire, right? It's a drama. The whole thing was a drama.
They wanted to
I understand that, but why? Why couldn't they just simply communicate and say and talk clearly to him and say, stop that? Okay. Tanu Rabban.
But then it becomes listening ear, no?
Okay. I don't know. Tanu Rabbanan. Kishnichnus Rabbi Sinu Lekerem B'Yavne. Hayusham Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Eliezer, Benosha, Rabbi Yosef Galili. So there was a conference in Kerem B'Yavne. Kerem B'Yavne, one of the places where the Sanhedrin was sent into Galos. And they after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they reestablished yeshiva in Kerem B'Yavne. Okay, to this very day, there is a yeshiva in Kerem B'Yavne. So at this particular conference, you had Tanayim, later generation Tanayim, of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Nechemiah, and Rabbi Eliezer, and Paschal Kulam Bechvod Achsanya V'Darshu. Now they opened up Bechvod Achsanya, right? Whenever you speak, you have to thank your host. And they all darshaned, and each one of them gave a drasha, and for the balance of our Masechta, the balance of today's daf, going into tomorrow's daf, we're going to speak about this conference and the drashas that were given, all related. Most of them are general points to be made regarding Torah, but some of them are related to our discussion. And we're going to start now with Rav Yehuda. Pasuk Rav Yehuda Rosh HaMedabrim, B'chol Makom, B'chvod Torah. So Rav Yehuda is the one who opens up first because he always opens first. The Gemara elsewhere gives a description of why Rav Yehuda opens first. He actually had something complimentary to say about the Roman government. And as a result of that, he was given the position of always being first to speak at any kind of gathering.
Is it Rebbe?
Rebbe Yehuda. No. Probably Rebbe Yehuda Eli. Okay. Meaning, a generation before Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. But, okay. So, Vidarish, and he starts as follows. So Moshe kachas ol v'natalo michos l'machane. So Moshe took the ol and he pitched it outside the camp. This is after Chet HaEgel, right, coming up in just a week from now. So it's after Chet HaEgel. And so as a result, so Moshe decided, okay, right, everybody needs some time off. He needs some time off. So v'halod v'am kavachomer ma'aron Hashem shelo haya meruchak el shnei asar mil. Now, if Moshe going by himself, okay, but he didn't go by himself. He took the ol with him, which had in it, now what exactly it had in it? Hard to say at this point in time, meaning shivrei luchos.
Not yet. No.
That's it. But what do you mean not yet? It was after Chet HaEgel. Oh. Right? So, fine. So it had shivrei luchos. So it's kind of hard to say that it had in it the actual Torah. It didn't even have a complete set of luchos in it. Okay. Anyway, it's not going to take away from the Gemara's point. I'm just thinking out loud. And I don't have time right now to think out loud. Anyway, so the Amar Torah, Vaya Kol Mevakesh Hashem Yatzel Ol Moed. So now, but the point the Gemara wants to make is as the following. Look at the Kav HaChomer. Now, even if he wouldn't have taken the Aron with him, so how far would he have been from the Aron? 12 mil. Meaning, the encampment of Bnei Yisrael was a total, from center to the exterior, was a total of 12 mil. Okay, I mean, it's a walk, but it's a doable walk. And meanwhile, he took the Torah with him. So, Tamid HaChacham Shaochim Meir Leir, Memidin Lemidin Lomo Torah, Alachas Kama V'Kama. So when you have Talmid HaChachamim, we're going from one city to another, and from one Medina to another in order to learn Torah, so how much more should that deserve our attention, our praise? Meaning, right, people, Rav Yehuda speaking to everyone who's gathering right there, meaning everyone is coming over here to learn Torah, meaning that speaks volumes of people's dedication to Torah. Moshe wasn't even ready to walk 12 mil for the Torah, meaning he took it with him. Okay, and you guys are walking for the Torah. V'divrei Hashem el Moshe panim el panim, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe face to face. Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe Moshe ani v'ata nazbir panim ba'alacha. Let us be nazbir panim. Now nazbir panim, the idea is that when you are when you're trying to communicate somebody, so you want to present to them your face, i.e. you want to be clear, i.e., you want to relate, you want to connect, and that's panim on panim. So, Igadar mikacham alo kodesh baruch hu, lamoshe kishim shani hasbarat lecha panim, kachata hasbar panim li Yisrael. So just like when I speak to you, I do so panim on panim, and again, it's talking about the degree of communication, the level of communication, face to face, with clarity, obviously not to be understood literally, right? Anthropomorphism has come up time and again in this ninth parak of Brachos. So, but it just simply means a clear communication. And so when you are now communicating the Torah to Bnei Israel, same thing. And also, by the way, v'achzer olam kamo, and take the olam oed that you took out of the center of the encampment and bring it back. V'shav l'machane, in fact, that's what he did. Amar Rabbi Abba Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe achshav yomru harav bekas v'tamid bekas Yisrael mate aleihem. So now, look, I'm angry. I understood it. Again, it's immediately post Chei Da'egel. I'm angry, and then people are going to see that you're angry, and then they're going to think to themselves, like, oh, we have no shot. So don't distress the people too much. Go back. Im atamachzer olam kama mutav. Now, if you bring it back, that's fine, meaning good. And im lav, Yoshua ben Nun, tamidecha, mishari tachtecha. And if not, so I'm telling you right now, you're forfeiting your leadership position. It's going to be given over to Yoshua. So I understand right now you're upset. I'm upset. You're upset. I mean, kaviyachol. We could say Hashem is upset. But I'm upset, you're upset, but nevertheless, you got to go back in there. So, and if not, I'm going to give it over to Yoshua. And that's why, upon the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe goes back. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving it over to Yoshua. And you know, we've seen this time and again, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, it's going to happen. Okay, and eventually leadership was moved from Moshe to Yoshua. And once again, Rav Yehuda now opens up again to this rabbinic conference, and again he opens up with Torah. Today you're going to be a nation. Now, at that point in time, we are at the end of Chumash. We're at the end of the Sefer Torah. And it's at the end of 40 years. And he's speaking, Oso Ayom Nitna Torah. Torah is given today. Actually, 40 years ago. So, the Talmud Chacham, who's learning the Torah, has such a love for Torah as the day in which it was given. You see, Talmud Chacham saying Shema again and again, day in, day out, evening, morning. And meanwhile, he misses one, and it's ki'ilu, it's as if he's never said Kriya Shema. Haskes, we're going to go back to the word in the pasuk in Chumash, and that word, and the word haskes, asu kito kito rasku b'Torah. What's the best way to learn? So, in small groups, lefisha in a Torah nikneis ela b'chabura. You're going to be the successful way of learning Torah is within a group. And the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Now it's cherev el habadim v'no alu. And what does that mean? The Gemara now is going to darshan cherev al sonem shel tamidei chachamim sheyoshim ba bevad ve'oskim b'Torah. A sword to the neck of a talmid chacham who's learning by himself. Meaning chabur over here is that you should be learning with somebody and not by yourself. And the Gemara speaks really strong terms about somebody who decides to learn by himself and not with anybody. It makes somebody dumb when he learns by himself. It makes you a sinner if you learn by yourself. The idea of no'al meaning a sinner. So we see it over here from this pasuk in Yeshayahu. Also, another interpretation of the word haskate. Haskate from the word kitita, which means basically crush yourself over it. Kill yourself over Torah. Now, it's not the simple pshat in the pasuk, but it's a drasha. And that is kill yourself over the Torah. And that's how you acquire the Torah. Has v'achar kach kitate. And the Gemara says, and in terms of how to learn Torah, so here's how you learn Torah. Listen, and then think about it, chew it over. The has means to listen, kitate means to chew on it. Kidderava, the Amarava, lolam yilmod adam Torah, v'achar kach yehene. The first a person should learn Torah, and afterwards, And then afterwards, a person should contemplate and think about it. Meaning, but the first thing you have to do is listen. And then afterwards, think about it more, digest it, And but the first thing to do is to listen. Let's quickly recap our morning. We went through the activities that are prohibited when going through the Har HaBayis, and which of those activities translate over to a shul. And of the activities that were listed in the Mishnah, the one that you're not allowed to do is for a shul's kapandra. Shoe wearing, allowed. Spitting, oddly enough, allowed. And the Gemara says, and why? It's a really interesting conclusion of the Gemara, because the Gemara says, because the shul is like your home. Okay, so when somebody says to you in shul, don't make yourself like you're at home, so then, I obviously, there's covered base of Knesset, which is in of itself an important aspect. So, but okay, but anyway, the Gemara says it. I don't want to sugarcoat. The Gemara says it, and to certain restrictions which are lightened for the shul, is because the Gemara says it's key base, so it's like your home. In terms of the conclusion of a bracha, it's not a main in the Beis HaMikdash. It's different in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara explored that just a little bit. When greeting somebody using Shem Hashem, so that was an enactment that was made by Boaz and ratified. And even though you're using Shem Hashem, and you're not doing so in the context of a pasuk in the Torah or a bracha, but nevertheless, Boaz says it's okay. And Esa Sos Hashem Efer Sarasecha. And the Gemara, and it's really important Gemara, is significant and, you know, obviously very dangerous, but the Gemara says that there are historical times where this was acceptable, where you abrogate, you negate some of the parts of the Torah, but in order to enforce the Torah. We saw the Gemara itself didn't give many examples, but shared with you Eliel Bahar Carmel, Rav Yehuda Nasi writing down Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, those are the classic examples that are given. And then the Gemara gave a number of teachings, wisdoms, drashas, to the point where the big part of the end of Amud Aleph and the beginning of Amud Beis is the story with Rabbi Chanina, who adjusted the calendar even though he was outside of Eretz Yisrael. He felt that he was in the right. The Eretz Yisrael sent him a message: you're not in the right, you're in the wrong. This can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. And finally, we went through the conference that took place in Kerem B'Yavneh. A Tanaim, late generation Tanaim, got together over there. So far, we went through the drushas of Rabbi Yehuda. We have more to finish up in order to finish the Masechta.